Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to episode 132 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Yu Yu Hakusho episodes 29 through 32, where Kuwabara flies high, Kurama spends his tournament fight doing a spot of gardening, and Yusuke makes besties with a murderous alcoholic.
Look, I'm gonna throw it out there that, like, not all alcoholics that are out there are all murderers. So, you know, if you're hanging out with somebody and you think that maybe they need to go to an AA meeting or something like that, don't worry. They're most of the time not a murderer. But sometimes if you meet someone with a long, spiky mane of hair that's sticking out and you are also inside of a demonic tournament, maybe think twice before giving them a ride. Anyways, let's jump in.
That was a good hot safety tip from Spencer there at the beginning to lead us in.
Whenever you're in demonic worlds.
Whenever you find yourself in a pocket demon dimension fighting in a tournament for your life.
A pocket demon dimension.
Yeah, for the gladiatorial amusement of a large arena of demons calling for your blood and the...
And mostly people, too. There's just amusement of, so like, many fancy rich people eating so many pigs in blankets.
Great. That was a great callback.
Look, I'm not saying that I haven't done any stand-up comedy, but I haven't done any stand-up comedy. What I meant to say was improv, and that's how bad at improv I am.
Dude, I've been, you know, like, listening to The Office Ladies and stuff like that, and they kind of talk about, you know, like, the show's very scripted, but they would often do, like, extra takes with, you know, with the actors trying out different improv things, and there's, you know, there's all these little moments and great jokes and shit that sneak their way into the show that were improv'd. And that's awesome. And as somebody with a theater degree who really enjoys, like, nailing a script, I have always been, like, a little intimidated by improv. I don't think I'm that bad at it. I just haven't, like, really committed to getting really good at it. But I haven't done it in a long time, and now I'm wondering, like, have I stayed okay at it because I've been spending, like, a lot of time thinking about, like, how you build character and how you create scenes that flow from, you know, the beginning to end, and how you sort of, like, double down on, like, those strong acting choices, or am I terrible at it because I haven't done it in forever and I've lost it and I don't know the answer and I don't know that I'm going to find out because I don't think there's any improv opportunities around here.
Yeah. Maybe not where you are. Definitely if you drive like 40 minutes to Denver, you would get some improv options.
You know what I'll do?
When the world
And this is just, you know, off the cuff. I think I'm just going to start a one-man road trip improv tour coming to a city near you soon. See if Blake can improv.
Oh, anyways, new super big things that have happened over the past couple of weeks that are really important to the podcast and you as the podcast listener. So first and foremost, you may have noticed at the earlier part of this week, we did not run senile all of a sudden and start doing a completely new show.
At least not only run senile.
Yeah, you know, we also are actually doing a completely another segment. What am I trying to say here? Yeah,
camera.
We're running another segment. We're doing another segment. This is going to be part of our newest connection that we have made as a podcast network, which is super exciting. So we have partnered with a site called The Geekly Grind. They are a fantastic website that does like tons of interviews, tons of breakdowns at different cons. They do tons of different geek culture things, streams, giveaways. They're pretty awesome. We decided as we were looking around for different networks and we were kind of vetting all of them. And by the way, like, if you're a fellow podcast that is listening to this, there are so many networks that are like doing shady things. So like rule of thumb, three of them, you have three thumbs now. number one, if a network is like, hey, you have to leave your current provider that you're on and come join our provider, and we're going to give you maybe basically nothing, just the fact that you have to join our provider's thing, don't do it. Number two, there are a lot of networks out there that are like, we'll get you better numbers, just pay us money. I was like, no, don't do that. And then number three, if they're like, hey, give us the rights to all of your intellectual property, also don't do that. There's a lot of them that are super shady out there. Luckily, we found a fantastic one that wanted to do the same sort of things that we wanted to do. And also, they're running other fucking great podcasts.
Yeah, I've got those pulled up, actually, so we can make sure we get the names right.
Oh yeah, I'm taking a look at them right now, and I have been really getting into Knights of the Rolled Table, which is great. I haven't really listened to Critical Role before. It seems like something that I sort of missed the boat on. So I'm also not super into D&D, so I'm like, you know, it might not be really interesting to me. But Knights of the Rolled Table kind of drew me in, and I had enough time because it hasn't been going forever and ever and ever, where I'm like, I'm getting in on the ground floor. So if you want to be a part of that, you definitely should. And then the other one is Comic Book Keepers. And Comic Book Keepers scratches the other itch that I have with listening to podcasts, which is I would like to, especially right now, have that experience where you're like standing at the counter while the owners of the store or like a couple of people that are buying comic books are talking at the counter. And I'm like, this is a great experience and a great version of a podcast. They just kind of shoot the shit about, you know, whatever thing they're going over at the time. It's a really good podcast as well. And yeah, they're so part of our podcast network.
The podcast network for Geekly Grind is brand new. Like, it was just announced. And yeah, their website's been around for, I think it's 5 years or something like that. So they've been
5 years.
Yeah, they've been in this space for a while. And it was a really serendipitous thing. We've got this, you know, this anime's podcast that's been going for a couple of years, so we're relatively well established. And they have all these connections to anime and manga production outfits like Viz Media or Crunchyroll. But it wasn't really their area of expertise, and they were really more focused on Western comics. And so, you know, we kind of happened upon them at the time when they're thinking about launching this podcast network and kind of need somebody to cover anime and manga. And here we come along. So it really worked out really nicely. It seems like a beautiful fusion of what we're all about here. It's great because you can get your anime and manga info from us. You can get your comic book info from them at Comic Book Keepers or on their website. And then you can get your D&D role-playing adventure with Knights of the Rolled Table. So there's three podcasts, and I would be really surprised if we don't start adding to that in the near future.
And the other ones that I want to mention as well, or the other thing that I want to mention as well, is that you know, we're part of this network, but also this website exists, and on the website there are just a fuck ton of articles going over like basically anything that you would want to do. They have like anime articles, comics, manga articles, board games, card games. They're actually chatting with me right now about doing a ladder climb for MTG Arena, and I'm like, I'd be interested in streaming.
Yeah, I've got ideas to pitch their way. So this is definitely something like we you know, like Magic is something that a lot of like geeky nerdy people like. And a lot of geeky, nerdy people like anime, so there's a good, you know, Venn diagram crossover there, but it's also not technically the same space, and so there you'll definitely start seeing us probably having opportunities to branch out into other things. You'll also have noticed that we will have put out our first Monday episodes. Our regular episodes will be on Fridays. Our Monday episodes are going to be kind of current events check-ins with what's going on in the world of anime and manga.
What's going on?
So we're that episode will have come out, but we actually, while we're recording this, have not made it yet. So we're still finding that. It might take us a couple weeks to figure out how that's going to be. And, you know, obviously, if you've listened to all of our episodes currently, you know that, like, how our show is now has evolved slightly but noticeably over time. So, like, that's going to be the case there. With that said, we're open to suggestions because it's new.
Definitely.
The other thing, and we'll probably talk about this too in more episodes around this time, so sorry for blowing you up on this, is that with this podcast network, like I said earlier, they've got access to different things. So there are now companies that are sort of soft sponsors of our show. They're not literally directly sponsoring us, but they are providing access to us. And so
they're sponsoring with free fucking shit.
Right. So we will have access to, you know, current logins and stuff for like anime streaming and manga. It's not called streaming, but, you know, digital manga. But
manga flippy online book. That's how they, that's our true Christian names.
But what we'll also get with this is we will sometimes have early access to shows that you will not have seen yet, or manga that you will not have had an opportunity to read yet. So you might get previews from us. And then one important thing also is that we are being provided this access as press and not as advertising. So that distinction is that we can get you excited for things. We can advertise for these things with our opinions and not with a script. So I know that's something that I think about when I hear about these kinds of partnerships, is like, okay, well, does this affect sort of their autonomy, or does this dilute the message that they're providing? And we definitely want to, you know, do right by these companies and make sure that, like, the people that are going to enjoy their stuff can find it. But we're not going to be like, it's not going to be only good reviews, because we can't, you know, we're not really like allowed to make bad reviews. Like, the reviews will be the reviews. So,
yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, I will say as well, like, we're going to be covering some things that, you know, might not be in our complete wheelhouse, but at the same time, we also will be covering, inside of the anime universe, some things that are in our wheelhouse, but we haven't got a chance to completely cover them yet because they are super, super new. And one of them, oh man, I am so excited to talk about this tomorrow. You will have already heard this. If you haven't yet, go listen to our Monday episode.
Yeah, it's tomorrow for us, but it was a few days ago for you.
Blake, I have started watching God of High School.
Yeah?
And holy crap.
Dude, I watched the first two episodes. My assignment for this week is Dorohedoro, which I've been looking forward to. And I watched the first two episodes today, and I was very excited to watch more of it. But I had to go cook dinner, so...
I watched the first two episodes of God of High School, and I'm excited about finishing the fucking series. First season of it within the next like 3 days, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Also, like, their opening is like a straight up banger. Like, it's one of those that it's really really great to listen to over and over again. Yeah. It doesn't surpass the ultimate banger that is the newest greatness, which is the Fire Force opening, because Fire Force season one opening, if you have not heard that,
I have not heard it.
It is so good. It's like completely addicting to listen to.
Speaking of openings and outros, I actually haven't told you this yet, Spencer, because I'm not finished with it, but I'm probably going to finish it.
Are you coming out?
Huh? What did you say?
I said, are you coming out?
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I am a gay.
Oh, no. I meant coming out to society for Cotillion. We need to put you on the chopping block so that you can get married to more eligible debutantes.
Oh yeah, I would love a debutante. I've been working on this project. I should have it done in the next couple of days, which means it should have been out for like a week at the time that you're able to hear this at the earliest, which is I'm putting together a Spotify playlist of all of the intros and outros of the shows that we have covered. If we have a show like Naruto that has some bangers that we have not gotten to yet, those bangers will not be on the playlist until we get to them. So it will be all of the intros and outros that I can find on Spotify, and I have not been able to find a surprising list of them. Like, a large number of the Naruto intros are just not there. Also, intros are easier to find than outros, but it's definitely not guaranteed for either. But this playlist exists. It is already out there. I have a title for it right now, but since I hadn't told you about this yet, Spencer, I'm not going to announce the title on this episode. It will be
fucking sabotaged in the middle of our episode.
like I said, this playlist will probably already be available. So if you're not already on our social media platforms, you should check the social media platforms, because we will probably have posted a link to this Spotify playlist. And so you can go and listen to it. And I listened to some of it today, and it's just so good. I mean, Tank is the first song, so...
Oh, God. 3, 2, 1, let's jam, right?
Let's jam. So there's new, cool, awesome stuff that's happening on this podcast. We are definitely leveling up. So, you know, get into it, y'all.
Yeah. Before we completely jump away from this, this is also going to be a new kind of change to the nonsense that we're going to be talking about at the very start. Because we're going to be doing the weekly jump episodes on Monday. One of the things that we're going to be doing here is just kind of like, you know, giving a breakdown of anime events of the week, instead of like anime that we're currently watching, unless it's something that we're not covering. There,
if it's
like,
current
whatever.
Season, it's going to be on the Monday show. If it's older news, it'll be nonsense.
Yeah, so that might change up a little bit. And also, like, you know, our random plugs for everything as per usual. We have the Patreon. It's up. Bleach episodes are there. If you want to join us and chat about shit, like, let us know about it. You find us on our Discord. If you also would like to, you know, just kind of reach out to us and talk to us about the new show, we definitely want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And last but not least, I've heard a couple of times from different people that are listening to the show that they're like, hey, I'm interested in doing a Patreon, but COVID is happening right now. I totally get that. If you don't feel like that, you know, you can be a part of the Patreon right now. I completely get that. But if you ever want to just support the show in a really random way, we also have this thing called Buy Me a Coffee. So it's you can find it through our Twitter links. It's a little link tree thing, and you can just, you know, shoot us that, and we can buy coffee with that, so that we can jitter our waves out the door.
Two more things from me. One last thing about the playlist. Like I said, I can't find some of the songs. I did find covers of some of the songs. I'm trying to find the full length songs, not the like 90 second intro versions of the songs. But if there is not a full length song, but there is a good cover that like does a good job of emulating what the song is like, or if there's like a 90 second version of a song that does not have its full version on there, reach out to me and let me know. Send me a link to that song or something like that on our social media, because I will definitely consider putting that on there if it sort of emulates the experience of the real song that I was not able to find. Some of them are on there, of course, but like, again, lots of intros and outros just not on Spotify currently. Also, if you notice that an intro or outro that's not on there currently is added later, and I don't notice, let me know, and I'll put it on the playlist. And then last thing with the new episodes that were coming out, again, we're covering new anime. We reached out to people on our Discord to ask what they wanted us to cover. And some people were like, well, I have shows that I want to recommend, but I want to recommend them for like your regular coverage, which I guess for right now we're kind of talking about as our Friday show, where we go through episodes and what happened in them. The Monday podcasts are going to be mostly like the first episode or handful of episodes, the first chapter or handful of chapters. And we're going to give our first impression reviews and who, you know, what kinds of people might enjoy continuing with that series. So these are not, they're not going to step on each other's toes. So if you really want us to cover a current season anime, you can suggest it for the Monday pod and we will watch or read the first little bit of it and give our reaction, review, and recommendations regarding it. And then if you also want us to slot it in when we have an open space for a new show on the Friday shows, we can also do that. They will not cancel each other out.
Yeah, this is one of the things I had an immediate like blowback from a couple of people that were like, hey, don't start this new thing and stop doing the other thing.
Yeah.
We're doing both.
Yeah, we would not have joined this podcast collective if they had told us to stop what we were doing.
Correct. So, like, one of the things that you're getting out of this and out of this entire thing, number one, more content. So you're getting literally double the amount of content. Well, a little bit less than double the amount of content because you're also getting Patreon episodes, but only if you're Patreon. So whatever. So it's more content, number one. Number two, it opens a lot of doors for us.
Big doors.
There are a lot of conventions that we have had a little bit of difficulty in the past getting access to, just because we didn't have like a really well-established podcast. We were small but growing.
According to them.
Yeah, but we now have more clout behind us, which is very exciting, and that means that we can get access to more things that we wouldn't have access to beforehand, which is really exciting for us, especially with, like, you know, everybody cross your fingers that, you know, there's not any other more super viruses that are going to be coming around that are going to be causing conventions for next year. I want conventions open. Oh, man.
So bad.
Cross your fingers by like March.
Yeah, hopefully. That's what I'm thinking too. Is like a lot of experts are like the vaccine will be out in January, and I feel very foolishly and uninformedly optimistic about that because I'm like, I know that that doesn't mean that everybody's totally cool to go in January, and that it's gonna take a while, especially because this will probably be like at least one time around like a flu shot, if not like an annual situation. So like. You know, it's not going to be over once the vaccine comes out, and the vaccine's not projected to arrive until early next year at the earliest. So, like, you know, we got a ways to go. But if the vaccine gets there, and even if the rollout takes like a couple of weeks by March, you know, we could start seeing gatherings. So, like, we're really crossing our fingers because I really miss going to conventions, and now we have an inn that's like way bigger than the ones we've had before. So I'm really excited about it.
Jesus Christ. So and then his legs imploded.
Yeah. So excited he died right then and there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, we can probably just like wax poetic about this because this is so thrilling for us. And it's just, it is the future we had hoped for ourselves. And the guys at Geekly Grind just seem like really awesome, really cool, really nice, really down with what we're doing, and really doing something that, in a way that is the kind of way that we try to go about it, where we're like, just, you know, we're focused on the same kinds of things. And it seems like we're going about things in similar ways, but they have been at it for a little longer and they just have a bigger presence. And like them extending it to us is like so huge for us and so exciting. And we could talk about it for the whole episode, especially because these episodes are like a little light in my opinion, but
bullshit. They're great. Anyways, so with that being said, we do have Yu Yu Hakusho episodes to go over this week. Sorry if you're Yu Yu Hakusho fans that joined in and didn't want to listen to all the bullshit beforehand.
Yeah, but also you should be used to it by now.
Anyways. Anyways, I'll make sure to just like I'll stick in as many pig in a blanket jokes as that I can possibly come up with to make it up to you, because I had a couple of people respond that made them laugh out loud, and I was just like, that makes my heart grow two sizes each time.
The pig in a blanket thing,
but don't do it too many times because I have an enlarged heart because of this.
Also, if you have a cute little art for pig in a blanket that you want to send in that we can put on shirts or coasters or something.
Oh my god! Like, please, Jesus Christ, y'all. We have not gotten any fan art yet, and it breaks my heart every day.
And, you know, there are things we need to talk about this offline because I want a coffee mug with our new logo on it in my home that I can drink out of. And that's like a high priority for me.
You can already get that. It's on TeePublic, dude.
I'm going to do it.
Mm. Yep. Anyways, cool. And some of that money will come right back to us.
So with that, I guess we should start, right?
Yeah. Anyways, previously on Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yu Yu Hakusho starts off as a story about a kid named Yusuke Urameshi. Yusuke is killed by a car when he is pushing a younger kid out of the way who would have been killed by that car. He is kind of one of those like street tough, gangstery Japanese student kids that you see in a lot of shonen anime, especially from this time period. But Yusuke has sort of a heart of gold. He's a good guy, and his last selfless act proved this, so much so that the ruler of the afterlife, or I guess the, you know, the nominal ruler in absentia, is Koenma, who is struck by his courage and his good deed and allows him to come back to life. It's a whole thing that takes a couple of episodes, but it eventually works. Now that he's alive again, though, he can see spirits and demons and all kinds of stuff, and he starts to develop spirit anime powers. Through this process, another student, rival of his named Kuwabara, becomes a sort of unwitting and begrudging friend of his and develops his own spirit powers. They also make friends with two demon dudes who are not so bad, a guy named Kurama and a guy named Hiei. So Yusuke's powers largely center on him firing bursts of energy from his hands. Kuwabara's powers center on him turning energy and has extra eyes, and he's going to do something else in this episode that we haven't seen before. There's also a great teacher, sensei character that was important in a previous arc named Genkai. Genkai trained Yusuke, allowed him to get much stronger. She also recently trained him again to get stronger for the tournament that they are currently participating in. And she has now wrapped her face in toilet paper and pretended to be a mummy so that she can become a mysterious fifth member of their team, even though, like, why didn't she just show up as herself? Like, what's going on? So anyway, there's this big bad dude named Togoro. He fought Yusuke and Kuwabara in a previous mission. They thought they killed him, but he was too strong to be killed by them. And he then coercively invited them to this thing called the Dark Tournament. The Dark Tournament is basically in the demon realm, and it is this big bloodbath gladiatorial contest between some number of teams of fighters who come there every year and duke it out. And the demons love it because they are all about bloodshed and sort of wanton murder. And there's also some like really rich normal humans who love it because they bet huge sums of money on the outcome and play with people's lives, much like the rich people do in our own world right now. So they're kind of watching and betting on the Togoro brothers. There's one guy who's like largely called Togoro, and then he has a brother who is largely turned into objects. So we'll mostly say Togoro when we're talking about him. He's going to be probably the end boss of this whole arc, but right now we're at the beginning of it. Team Urameshi is facing off against this team called Rokuyokai, which I figured out what that name means today. It's really simple. It's like weirdly simple. But Rokuyokai is just like a random group of dudes. The first fight was happening and ended on a cliffhanger in our last Yu Yu Hakusho episode. Kuwabara was fighting this young kid named Rinku, who was prototype Killua from Hunter x Hunter. And Rinku was definitely beating Kuwabara and maybe about to kill him. And then the episode coverage ended and we had to wait a whole 4 weeks or so to get back to it. But now we're back to it with Yu Yu Hakusho 29.
Okay, so episode 29 is called Flowers of Blood. If you immediately were just like, what does Flowers of Blood mean? Well, don't worry, because what's going to happen with Flowers of Blood episode is that we're going to wrap up that previous fight really quickly. So Kuwabara falling from the air, if you've noticed anything from Kuwabara so far, you've noticed that he does swords. He does swords. in long ways and in short ways. He's gonna just sort it all up. Sometimes he has credit, two swords.
to give credit where credit is due, the creator of Yu Yu Hakusho, who also created Hunter x Hunter, has a real knack of taking a simple power and iterating it on it in ways that are both believable and interesting. So Kuwabara, he's able to make a lightsaber. That's his power. And it's cool, but you're also like, where does this fucking go? Well, then he learns to make it grow longer. Now he's learning how to make it grow longer and also be like a little bit... sorry, I was just listening to our first Fully Cully episode before this, and now I'm saying all these like things that could be innuendo. It's throwing me off. Because I was going to be like, he can make it grow longer, but it's kind of bendy, so that's not... But that is true. I just can't think of another way to say it. And then, like, he's going to reveal that it's like a sneaky snake. Now I can't say anything else because I was listening to an older episode of ours and it has ruined me. So the rest of this episode, Spencer.
It's a sneaky snake.
Sneaky snake.
They call me Sneaky Snake. Why do they do that?
My name is Kuwabara, Mr. Sneaky Snakes.
Oh, God. Episode title. Anyways, Kuwabara is going to, number one, turn his sword into a much longer sword, javelin it into the ground, and then use it to, pole vault towards his opponent. He's going to go real, real fast towards Rinku, and before he gets there, Rinku's going to be like, yo-yos! And he's going to be like, well, you can't stop me before I make my sword grow longer and also snake around.
Sneaky snakes.
Sneaky snakes. and stab through Rinku. Rinku is going to get knocked out of the ring. Kuwabara is also going to get knocked out of the ring. And then a countdown ensues from our referee lady. She's going to be like, well, you got to get back in the ring before I finish my countdown or you're both disqualified. Rinku gets into the ring. Kuwabara does not get up super fast. And he, instead needs a pep talk from sleeping Yusuke.
He doesn't need a pep talk. Yusuke in his sleep says that Kuwabara can't actually lose to this guy. Like he sort of talks some shit in his sleep about, like, there's no way you're going to let yourself lose to this kid, right? And then Kuwabara, who is currently in danger of losing to this kid if he doesn't get back in the ring, goes to Yusuke instead of getting back in the ring.
I know.
To be pissed about how he could suggest that he might lose instead of doing the thing to prevent himself from losing.
I know. He's just like, what the fuck, Kuwabara? Like, get your head into the game.
This is why the voice actor for Kuwabara sounds the way he does.
Yeah, he sounds like
Kuwabara's an idiot.
Yeah, Kuwabara is definitely an idiot. He's like almost a little bit of an impression of Sylvester Stallone. Have you ever noticed that about him?
I had not noticed that, but I do see it. I also noticed that they toned it down. He doesn't sound as stupid as he used to. It's really more of like a character voice now than it was at the beginning. He sounds like an idiot. Like he's like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid?
So before Kuwabara can get back into the ring, though, Rinku is going to use his yo-yos to tie him down so that he can't get back in time, and he loses the match. First point goes to Rikuikai, and everybody's like, Kuwabara, you're an idiot. And Kuwabara's just like, look at my swords!
I'm a sneaky snake!
The next fight is going to be Kurama. Kurama's going to fight against guy who has big, giant knife finger.
Guy whose name I did not bother to look up.
Guy who also carries around a button but doesn't hold it correctly.
What the hell?
Yeah, guy.
Make that shit ergonomic, man. Like, you're, yeah, like this is your whole shtick. Like, come on.
Also, like, guy who is in random trench coat.
Yeah, he also needs to make this a dead man switch, right? Like, that's the.
Yeah, that's like, really. What the fuck?
That's the key. Like, he did not think apparently something he's done multiple times before, and he was like, ah, good enough. Like, come on, man. So what we're talking about is that Kurama's opponent has this, he's like, I've got a button, and if I push this button, my brother who happens to be in the human world stalking your human mother will kill her. And I was like, okay, like, I get it. Like, Kurama's whole character is that, like, he's a demon, but he has so much humanity that you kind of can't tell. But, like, demons are very inhumane, and they're, you know, they're violent, murderous, and they'll take advantage of that. And so this becomes sort of a weakness that they try to take advantage of with Kurama. But what I was like, the whole time I was like, why didn't they just kill her and say they hadn't yet? Like, that seems like the most demon thing to do. And they just don't do it. But he's like, if I push this button, she dies. So you have to stand there and just let me beat on you. And so then he does that for a while.
Yeah. And then after he beats on him for a while, all of a sudden, Kurama's like, okay, I don't care about this anymore. Press the button if you're going to press the button. And so this evil guy, who has now made one of his fingers like a very long blade and has been cutting up Kurama, is just like, fine, I'm going to do it. By the way, his name is Rodo. I only know this because I looked it up because I had to know. It doesn't matter because it turns out that Kurama had snuck a sneaky seed into him with... God, I don't want to say a sneaky seed. Snake puts a sneaky seed into somebody, but like it's happened.
Kurama snuck his seed into this man's body without him knowing it.
Jesus Christ.
What? That's what happened.
Anyways.
He threw some rocks his way, but then like his seed got in there. Jesus. He's like, I need to get these rocks off of me. I've got to get my rocks off, but then put my seed in you.
Jesus Christ.
That's right, though. I'm right. What are you laughing at?
Anyways, a flower is going to appear from inside of this guy. It turns out it's the death plant. You feed it inside of somebody's body with your own, your life force, to think chakra, you know, basically soul energy. It's all the same. Or key if you're a big DBZ fan.
There's two important things that we learn. One is that Kurama, what we've seen him fight before, he has a rose whip. And they kind of...
Rose whip!
they make a joke out of it earlier where they're like, hey, where is his rose whip? Where does he store it? Also, Kuwabara insinuates that the only place he could store it is up his ass. But that he wouldn't do that because it's thorny. So
why would he say that? I forgot that he said that until just now, and I was just like when that happened, I was just like, okay. So here's a thing that has bothered me very recently while watching anime instead of the dubbed version versus the subbed version, and this is going to be a quick diatribe about Fire Force. Fire Force, inside of the first season, if you watch the dub, I know that there's a lot of voice actors that are in America that are really good. But sometimes the problem is that they have to match the mouth flaps with dialogue that could make sense in the moment without changing the story too much. And sometimes it completely changes what is happening inside of the scene. It happened in a Fire Force episode I'm watching recently. I think it was episode 10 of the first season of it. I was watching them to just kind of do a comparison between the two because I'm playing around with an idea about that. But anyways, it really bothered me because there are these two little girl characters. And in the Japanese version of it, they are interested, but also think that this guy is a little bit lame when they do it. But in the American version of it, they're just the most obnoxious assholes. And I'm just like, these characters are completely different from the Japanese version to the American version in a way that makes me like... Did they watch the Japanese version of it to understand like who these characters are? Because the way that they react to, I don't want to give away Fire Force stuff, but there's there's a main character and he's doing like a fun little thing in front of them. It's like a break dance maneuver that they think is kind of cool. But they also don't know why he's doing it. But in the American version of it, they're just like, yeah, he's super lame. He tried to show us his dance moves, but he's an asshole. And he's just like, hey, that's mean. And in the Japanese version of it, he's just like, hey, I was doing that for your enjoyment. And they were like, we enjoyed it, but also we have things to do. So I'm like, those are, they're just very different. Like, you know, you might not catch the differences between the two if you weren't watching them side by side, but it's something that really irks me. And it makes me wonder, like, how much of the Yu Yu Hakusho stuff is changed for the dubbed version versus the subbed version of it.
Yeah, I've wondered that too, because it's an older show. It came out when we were pretty young, so it's like more than 10 years old.
Yeah, its original air date was in 1993. The push
to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah, the original air date in Japan was 1993. When it aired in America was 2003. So there is a 10-year gap in between those two things. So like, I don't know how much is kept exactly the same. But what you really need to know about that episode is that Roto, guy in trench coat, giant knife finger guy, is dead. And we're going into episode 30, which is all about fire.
So the thing you learn before we move on is that Kurama controls plants. He uses his energy to control plants. So that's why he can use a rose whip, because he makes the rose grow. And that's why he's able to control the seed, because his power isn't having a rose whip, it's having control over plants. The other important thing that we'll learn, and that will be a theme we return to in the last fight we're covering today, is that these fights are not doing it for the audience.
Yeah.
Because the fight between Kurama and Roto is all about Kurama just standing there and not fighting, and then suddenly he's won. And, like, the audience is frequently shown being super upset that this is not, like, a technique-filled bloodbath of, like, you know, physical pain attrition. And they're just like, what the fuck? We paid for this. Like, I just kind of love the running joke that, like, this annual tournament, whose whole purpose is for them to watch, you know, murder contests, is like letting them down. Like, their expectations are not being met. That's just a fun thought for me. And these episodes really reinforce that.
Yeah. They were like, take it back to the time where we got burned in the stands for no reason. Take that back. Yeah.
Some of us died today. Let's have more of that.
Anyways, let's get into episode 30. Episode 30 is going to be the most plot light of all of the episodes. I'm pretty sure.
I was like, there has to be more, but I don't know what there was.
Yeah. This one, it's called Dragon of the Darkness Flame. And the reason it's named that is because of a badass technique that Hiei is going to use. You were going to see it here in just a little bit. So Rakuyika's leader,
Boy.
Yeah, Flamer. Zeru is the name of the guy.
Zeru the Flamer.
Yeah. So he's going to enter, and Hiei is like, I'm going to fight him. So they get into a little bit of a trash talk back and forth. And Zeru is going to really, really amp up his energy. He is going to start attacking Hiei and getting Hiei to have to dodge a whole bunch of different fireball attacks.
Really good animation here, too.
Yeah. This is one of the episodes that it's like almost, it's almost worth, even if you've seen this before and you're doing this as like a flashback moment, this is one of those episodes you should definitely watch again, especially if you're a Hiei fan, because number one, it's going to give us access to one of the most badass techniques that Hiei is ever going to use, and number two, it's just going to be a good back and forth with is super plot light, so you don't have to really be committed to getting completely into it again. And I mean, if you want to, you can just listen to our show and we'll get you there. Anyways,
watch all of Yu Yu Hakusho because it's really good.
Yeah. Anyways. So Hiei, even after he is covered in fire, he gets back to his feet And he starts to use a technique after kind of laughing off the fact that he is, should have been burned to death. His third eye is going to open, and he is going to use this crazy technique called Dragon of the Darkness Flame. It is so powerful.
Sounds like a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Yeah, it is incredibly powerful to the point where Hiei is very powerful, but he is going to have to sacrifice a part of his body in order to use this technique. In fact, one of his arms is completely scorched and burned because of it. But
yeah, he might not be able to use it again, and I don't know if he will, because I've never seen Yu Yu Hakusho. And I'm like, I don't know, because he should be able to, because he's the main character, but like he might just have to deal with this.
Yeah. So what the technique does is it lures the dragon into the plains of the living, and it attacks with a flame that is not able to be stood up to, even to a person that is basically just made of flames. So he's it's flame. Just
we covered this.
Yeah. So he completely
outdated term.
Yeah, he completely gets just burned say, to the point.
Move on from me.
Whatever. He gets burned into the side of a wall is what happens to him.
That's true. They do a Looney Tunes outline of him and everything.
Yeah, and then, you know, where he was never seen from again.
Is that a Schitt's Creek reference that you just made?
Yeah. Anyways, let's keep going. Anyways, Hiei is declared the winner, and then some other members of Team Rikuyukai are like, fuck this.
Yeah, there's a hippie dude and somebody that's like a lizard man. And they're like, yeah. Bye.
And they're like, no, we're not sticking around for this if they're going to kill us. And so it turns out that the leader of the team is actually this guy named Chu. The only reason that he wasn't called as the leader of the team was just because he lost a rock, paper, scissors match. Chu is going to be our resident drunk. And that's going to take us into episode 31 and 32. We can put these two together because it is one single fight. It's the first one is called Stumbling Warrior, and then the next one is called Knife Edge Deathmatch.
Here's the thing about Chu. He shows up carrying the bodies of the two teammates that were leaving, and I was like, he knocked them out. And then one of the characters is like, he killed them. I was like, oh shit, isn't he their teammate?
He's like, I killed them. And they're like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, they shouldn't have done what they did. We're going to find out, number one, that Chu is a damn drunk. Like, he's...
like a bunch. He's like drinking snake juice up in here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's straight up like full on tiny hat Ron Swanson, full on drunken master Jackie Chan, full on oh god, what is the name of that guy from? Oh god, I can't remember the name of him. He was from the Tekken games, uses drunken fist technique as one of his abilities.
I didn't play enough Tekken to know their names. I just knew that there was that character. That was like the kangaroo with the boxing gloves, but if you pushed the right button during character select, it was a velociraptor with boxing gloves. And I loved that, but that was like, that's the extent of my Tekken knowledge. Yeah, there was also a bear.
He's full on Lee if Lee smells alcohol. So Chu is going to get into the ring. He's going to fight against Yusuke because Yusuke was like, I'm awake and I'm ready to fight.
Also, maybe was awake this whole time. Like, he was definitely commenting on the fights. And then they would be like, is he awake, though? And then he would be still sleeping. And I don't know. Jury's out on whether or not he was just playing possum.
Yeah. So, okay. So, first and foremost, there's going to be a pretty good back and forth. It's just going to be like a back and forth just fist fight. That's going to be Yusuke punching a bunch of times in like a very short amount of times. It's like five punches in a split second. There's going to be a back fighting technique. I can't remember what the stupid name of the technique is that it's like it's talked about inside of like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z a lot. And it's not like a boxing technique. It's not Muay Thai. It's not kickboxing. Damn it. I can't think of the name of this. But Chu is going to be fighting with basically that kind of technique. It's like a knockdown drag out fight style. And he is going to be hitting Yusuke faster than Yusuke is hitting him. Yusuke and Chu are going to be trading a lot of blows. And it really seems like Yusuke is straight up losing. You know, he's gonna lose the entire fight.
Yeah, it's not a curb stomp, but it is a slow but sure widening of the gap.
Yeah, Yusuke is breaking down to a point where, like, you know, I don't know how powerful Chu is really supposed to be. And even by the end of this fight, I still don't know how super strong he is supposed to be. Because Yusuke sort of jumps by leaps and bounds when it seems like he needs to be more powerful for plot-relevant reasons. Yeah. He's kind of like a Saiyan in the sense where, like, if you defeat him, he only comes back much stronger.
To me, it's more like Bleach, which I know is actually, like, in reverse order because Ichigo from Bleach was inspired by Yusuke. Mm-hmm. But I have seen and read Bleach, and I have not seen or read Yu Yu Hakusho past where we are now. So, to me, it comes in, you know, reverse chronological order. But they do this with Ichigo also, where, like, his power level is high but sort of nebulous. And his power is strong but sort of basic when you compare it to the characters around him. Like, he's mostly just like a very strong dude who has some beam powers, and that's kind of what Yusuke's deal is. And but they both of these characters, when they're sort of pressed, they are some combination of too stubborn and tough to go down, and so their opponent, who is stronger, starts to even the field by just sort of imperceptibly getting weaker while they hold their power level relatively steady. And they are sort of intuitively proficient, and they grow in the moment as needed because of it. And it kind of is obnoxious because, like, it just means that they happen to win fights that they used to be losing because they are supposed to win. Or they happen to get stronger randomly because the plot demands it, and rather than, like, because they, you know, earn it. But at the same time, for both Bleach and Yu Yu Hakusho, I usually don't care because I think they do a good enough job of justifying it and giving us, you know, cool fights that when you're like, I don't think they earned that, but it was cool, so it's okay.
Yeah. We're also going to get a cool flashback moment where we're going to get, like, Chu and Rinku, how they met. One of the things that we are going to find out is that Chu gets stronger the more that he drinks. And that is kind of his power, is that he becomes more powerful and also more red the more that he drinks.
Oh, yeah.
And he is also going to get violently ill at some point because he drank too much. In this flashback, we see that Chu rescued Rinku, and that's why Rinku is joining them. I think that Chu is a really interesting character because Yusuke and Chu seem to, like, genuinely like each other. And that brings up the next point in their fight, which is they have gone toe-to-toe and blast for blast. They get to a point where they need to make a decision on who is going to be beaten out of this fight. And the way that they're going to do that is by starting a death match with two knives that they put their foot over. And if you step on it, I guess you get shot by lightning, because that's going to eventually happen. But to who?
I think the lightning is incidental or maybe metaphoric.
Yeah. Anyways.
But also, before they run out of power, Chu's power is that he creates a ball of energy that he throws kind of like a baseball or even like a volleyball. And I was like, this power is the early draft of the volleyball hunter that they have a contest with on Greed Island in Hunter x Hunter.
Man, I love Greed Island.
Because it's the same author, and he is expanding on his previous work.
I love Greed Island so much.
It's so great, but also the volleyball guy is like one of the best parts, maybe the best part, and Chu's power is definitely like an unembellished prototypical version of that.
Yeah. Anyways, the next thing that we find out about this death match at the, you know, while your foot is on the blade of a knife, is that Kuwabara's done this before?
Yeah!
I like...
He's just like, oh, a knife edge death match. I know those.
He's like, I've done a few of those in my time. One of those. Like,
you're in middle school right now.
Can we talk about that a little bit more? Like, Kuwabara, number one, is like from the mean streets of Japan. And number two also is like, I'm going to pet this kitty. And I'm going to love it. And I'm going to teach it how much I love it. And also, like, don't hurt it because then I'll have to hurt you. Kuwabara is truly... the parfait of characters.
He's a gem.
He's got layers.
He's the hero we need.
He's got layers.
Yeah.
And everybody likes a parfait.
Yeah, so the whole thing is that they just punch each other for a while, and, you know, I guess the idea is that if you lose your footing or get pushed back, it's going to cut the heel of your foot or the bottom of your foot, and that will be painful and I guess break your concentration or something like that. Like, it's never really said, and I'm just kind of inferring that, like, if this is a fist fight with a knife thing, like, I think the knife is just there to be a mental fortitude test.
Yeah.
And they punch each other for a while. I gotta say, I have to admit, these are the first Yu Yu Hakusho episodes that did not completely hold my attention.
Yeah, it's...
They're still really good, but this punching contest is... It seems like it goes on for a long time without any, like, dynamism to it.
And it turns into a headbutt match where Yusuke wins because his head is harder than Chu. Chu's gonna go down. They're gonna
be... Even though Chu... cracks the concrete with his head when he falls.
Yeah. After losing this match, Chu's like, kill me. And Yusuke's like, nah, it's good. And they're like, okay, you're the winner. And everybody is still just like, who's the masked fighter?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, the thing with Chu. So, like, this comes up a lot. There is this, you know, this honor concept in a lot of Japanese media, and I believe in Japanese culture, that we don't really have here in the West, which is like, oh, you defeated me. And so for me to have lost this fight, but survived is dishonorable. It seems to be the idea that, like, if I fought with everything I had, I would either lose or die because I'm giving it my all. And so by losing and not dying, it seems to indicate that I did not give it my all, and that's dishonorable and is, you know, it will, you know, be a big thing with all my friends. They're never going to let me live that down, so just kill me now. So they also, Chu and Yusuke, explicitly agreed that their punching match would be a death match. They would fight to the death, and Chu is still alive. So for two reasons, he is upset that Yusuke has not killed him yet. And so after the match is called, he's like, hey, Yusuke, will you off me real quick? And then Yusuke is like, oh, no. And he's like, no, I'm not going to kill you because we had such a good fight that we have to have another one in the future. And then they share best friend smiles. And I'm like, this guy just tried to kill you. And like a half an hour ago, he murdered his two friends. So maybe don't be immediate best friends with him is all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe take him with a grain of salt, maybe.
Yeah, and then Genkai, wearing her toilet paper mummy face, is just standing over there not saying anything, but definitely wearing the clothes that she's... the only clothes she's ever been seen in. And she is like a world-famous person.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Nobody who have, like... like, Hiei and Kurama are very aware of who she is. Kuwabara has spent, like, a large amount of time in her presence. She's also pretty diminutive. Like, she's atypically short. So, like, she has some pretty notable physical features that would give it away, even if she had changed clothes. But, like, there is no ambiguity for us as viewers because of the clothing thing. But there shouldn't be for these characters. And they just don't get it. But the thing that gets me is that Koenma, the lord of the underworld, also doesn't know.
Yeah.
It's just like, you have magic surveillance systems. Like, how do you not realize who this person is?
Well,
not only, like, is it super obvious, but you still would have on VHS seen tapes. At some point.
They're still on VHS tapes here.
Oh my god. It's funny, but it's also not necessarily being played for laughs. Even to the extent that, like, when I was looking at what episodes we're going to watch for next Yu Yu Hakusho, like, the summary on the Wikipedia page refers to Genkai as the masked fighter. And I was like, come on, y'all.
All right.
Am I being punked here? Like, what's happening?
With all that being said, stick with us after these here credits, and we'll talk about what's coming on next time.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions and presented as part of the Geekly Grind podcast network.
Sound editing is done by Rashad English. He's our level 13 sound wizard.
13? Did he jump even more levels?
He gained a lot of experience by defeating the Dark Lord of Smooth Jazz.
Do you mean Chuck Mangione from King of the Hill?
Rashad is the King of the Hill now.
Damn it, Bobby.
Anyway, our podcast is ad-free, and if you want to keep it that way, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandsGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/GetJumped.
Also, we have a Discord server. You can find the links to that on all of our social media platforms.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New review episodes come out every Monday, and new rewatch episodes appear every Friday.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Greetings, anime fans. My name is Jeremy, and I'm the editor-in-chief for the Geekly Grind, a place where geeks can go to escape their weekly grind. We're coming up on our 5th year of operation, and to celebrate, we searched high and low for some of the coolest podcasts out there in order to create a new geek-centric podcast network. And what we found were 3 awesome shows that are sure to be a great addition to any geek's media menu. Of course, there's Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, which is this wonderful show, which features an additional episode weekly now to cover new anime and manga from our friends at Viz and Funimation. You can also dive into the world of comics with Comic Book Keepers, where Chris and Lance chew the fat about their favorite heroes, villains, and comic series, as well as the impact that comics can have on our lives. Finally, if you're seeking a fantastical and fun retreat, Knights of the Rolled Table is an engaging and family-friendly D&D adventure starring talented improv actors. With 3 fantastic podcasts on the books and more on the horizon, make sure to check out the Geekly Grind Podcast Network as well as our regular content at www.thegeeklygrind.com.
Patrons, be on the lookout for our next Patreon-only episode where we'll cover Bleach episodes 10 through 14. And then for our next regularly scheduled episode, we'll be watching Hunter x Hunter episodes 136 through 139.
Yeah, Gon's dad is going to play the most extreme game of don't touch the floor ever. And Gon is the floor. Man, he really doesn't want to hang out with his son so bad. He left him on an island by himself.
I mean, not literally by himself, but he was like, yeah, here, take this or something.
By himself.
Like, don't step on a crack or you'll break your mother's back, except the stepping on the crack is spending time with your son, and breaking your mother's back is, I don't know, spending time with your son.
Jesus Christ. We went off the rails here. Anyways, talk to you later.